Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Appearance Radio with Augusto Perez. This is the End Time News Report. We'll be taking a look at current world news events through the lens of Bible prophecy as we await the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, here is Augusto.
Welcome to the End Time News Report. I am Augusto Perez, and shalom. Today is Friday, March 15, 2024, the year of our Lord. We're going to bring you the latest in headline news, commentaries, analysis, as we see it through the eyes of Bible prophecy and the Word of God. Well, looks like this situation, guys, in Ukraine and France, and Russia, it's going downhill. I mean, this thing is not good. And so, I was reading an article about World War III alert on InfoWars. That France's Macron has just threatened full invasion of Ukraine and ordered the loading of hydrogen bombs on fighter jets. And so looks like the old boy is, he means it. He really means to go to war with, with Russia if necessary over Ukraine. And which kind of brings to memory what I shared in last Tuesday's mailbag show. Well, that Sunday night, I had the song that God impressed me, and I woke up with it, and it just kept repeating over and over and over in my head and in my soul, which was Waterloo, that old song by ABBA, Waterloo. We talked about it on Tuesday, and here we are. So it looks like that was a warning from the Lord, and of course, if you know about history, that was the demise of Napoleon Bonaparte, who was a French general. And that's where he lost. He lost the not just the battle, he lost the war in Waterloo. It was devastating defeat. And since then, that has become famous, a cliche word, that's your Waterloo event. That's this Waterloo or that country's Waterloo, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So now Macron seems like he is really intent on following through with this. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens. But that seems to be the latest news on that. And of course, NATO also has said that fighter jets can now carry nuclear weapons as tensions with Russia reach a breaking point. So the North Atlantic Treaty Organization and Russia reached a boiling point as now they're allowing NATO F-35A joint strike fighters to carry nuclear weapons. Now this is not good, people. This is not good at all. And the F-35, of course, is a stealth fighter. It's the first of its class to get the green light to carry nuclear weapons, including the B-61-12 thermonuclear bomb. And this is now the nuclear strikes are on three NATO countries, according to this report. According to a report, a Swedish Prime Minister, Ulf Kristersson, he says unity and solidarity are behind the move. And President Biden praised Sweden's decision, announcing that NATO now stands more united, determined, and dynamic because of it. And we're going to post this at the end of the program. Excuse me. For you guys out there to read it on your own. But this is not good at all. While this is happening, Vladimir Putin warned that the, you know, warned the deep state that Russia is ready for nuclear war. And so the warning was made during an interview on Russia, One TV, with journalist Dmitry Kiselyov, who asked Putin a question about tactical nuclear arms ahead of the country's elections on Friday. So also natural news, you know, disappeared in natural news and other outlets, Putin warning the West that Russia is ready for nuclear war and with the West. So as all of these things are intensifying and tensions are increasing, and threats of NATO against Russia, it looks like these people are poised. I'm talking about the deep state, the Khazarian mafia. They're poised for nuclear war, and this is something that has not been approved by Congress, by the Senate, by anybody. There is no threat to our country. There is no threat of any kind. At least not from Ukraine, regarding Russia. There is a threat in other areas, but that is not being addressed, of course. The threat of the border, the threat of the economic collapse, the threat of an, you know, an invasion, literally a human invasion being coming in from the Mexico border, the Canadian border, and now from Haiti, which that's another topic. But these are the headlines. It seems like we are right now in very dangerous territory. And what comes to my heart right now as I'm reading this and I'm sharing this with you is the fact that, you know, and today's 15, March 15, and they remember, the remember Caesar's warning, beware the Ides of March. Beware the Ides of March. And they also, the other slogan, the kings go to war in the spring. So I don't want to be a bearer of bad news, but this seems to be what is happening right now, folks.
Well, it is serious, and a lot of serious stuff coming out of Europe, especially in that scenario. What's interesting, the latest intel seems to indicate that when France sends its active duty military into Ukraine, that the Polish military will move in with him. And that's two NATO countries. The question is, two NATO countries move forces into Ukraine and Russia retaliates against them. Will they call for an Article 5 and want NATO, all NATO, to go to war, come to their aid and go to war against Russia? You know, we keep hearing this West against Russia thing. It's not really that at all, because I assure you, if the war breaks out between Russia and NATO, which basically America's most of NATO, actually, I think 70 or 80% of it, then China and North Korea, Iran, Pakistan, and they're all nuclear countries, they're not going to remain neutral. You know, if people think this is just us against Russia, us against them, you're a little bit wrong. It's a bigger deal than that. And at the same time, it still seems that the Biden administration is basically saying that Russia wouldn't dare attack the U.S. with nukes. I don't think that's a policy. I think that's stupidity, but that's just me. What's interesting is the fact that this seems to be growing, and I cannot imagine how NATO can somehow think they come out on top in a nuclear war against Russia, because it appears Putin and Medvedev and a number of the Russian generals have got it right when they said this will be a war no one wins.
No, nobody wins the nuclear war, and it is going to involve practically every nation in the world when this thing escalates, and it is escalating very quickly. And the use of hydrogen bombs is nothing short of crimes against humanity, as are atomic bombs. When you have a weapon that can, in an instant, kill multiple thousands and hundreds of thousands of people, these kinds of weapons should never be used in a war. You know, there should be, not be war, but of course we have had wars ever since the beginning of mankind. But having these kinds of weapons should be a crime. It's just unfathomable to me that anyone would be willing to drop a bomb like this on another country. But we did it at the end of World War II. We dropped two of them on Japan. And I don't know how the people that flew the airplane that dropped the bombs could live with themselves, knowing that they just wiped out a large number of people. It's just unfathomable. But that's what's happening with the high technology that we have now, and it's just developing more and more deadly weapons. And it seems like these people just are itching to get into a war so they can try the weapons out to see how well they work. It's total insanity.
Yeah, it's insanity, but these people are insane. What kind of a person wants to go to nuclear war over a situation in Ukraine where, I mean, Russia is winning the war conventionally, and of course, they're not going to allow that. It's all about pride, and it's all about money. It's all about, corruption, really, because everybody knows by now all the things that are going on there in Ukraine, the laboratories and what have you. But, I mean, you want to talk about destruction and loss of human life? I mean, we're talking about millions here. I mean, let's just imagine that a bomb is dropped in New York City. Do you know how many millions of people live there? And that would be millions of people instantly vaporized. I mean, big cities all over the country. I mean, how about Los Angeles? How about Chicago? I mean, we're talking about millions of lives lost, okay, if they drop those nukes in those areas. And many, many other major cities which are targeted, those are the cities targeted by Russia and China and North Korea and Iran. And so the loss of life is going to be devastating to this country, which is why the Deagle report, remember, that came out some years ago, had the population of the United States, when it's all over, when all of this is done and finished, under 100 million. Don't remember the exact figure. I think it was maybe like in 70 million, 80 million, something like that. But it was under 100 compared to now, which is, what, 340, 350 million. So just calculate in your mind the loss of life. And this has been planned. This has been planned. There's an article by Leo Holman that came out today, how the NATO powers are using the UK's World War I model to lure Russia into the next big global war. And he talks about how this has been happening. He says, Germany's own military and government are painting such a dire picture of the armed forces that there are now calls from some of the most powerful politicians in the country to reinstate mandatory military service. Cody, that was written there in an article. And so this is happening. They are indeed trying to lure Russia into this nuclear war. They have been doing this now since 2022. And so we're just going to have to watch, because I don't think anyone can stop this. I mean, God could stop it. The Lord could stop it. And I do not believe, though, that that the Almighty is going to allow this horrific destruction to take place. I mean, there will be some, probably there will be some nukes detonated, but I don't believe that this is going to develop into a full-scale nuclear holocaust. I don't believe that we'll get there, because the Almighty will stop it somehow. I do believe there will be some nukes deployed and some nukes hitting targets. There's no escaping that. It's too late to stop that. And there will be some cities that are going to be wiped out. Probably there's no way to stop that. But I do believe the Lord is going to intervene and stop the destruction of the human race, because that is basically what it would entail. When this thing gets going, that's it, folks. But we know from Scripture that there's going to be wars, and there's going to be a lot of deaths. But I think that we are not going to see the full blown nuclear holocaust. I don't think it's going to happen, because the Almighty is going to stop it, and we need to pray that that is the case, and it will be so. But I mean, there's warning now from a lot of people that are in the know what's happening, and Leo Holman is saying just that. And so there's another piece of news here. Now, of course, you know what's happening there with and by the way, while we're talking about military having trouble enlisting new members, I was just reading an article from West Point Academy. The United States is the most notorious academy in the United States to train officers, military officers in the Marines. And they have now done something which blew me away. I mean, when I read this, I have not been able to confirm it, but if this is true, and this happened a day ago, and I haven't had much time because I have been so busy. I really have been like in a whirlwind. Many things. I'm not going to talk about it because nobody really cares to hear it. I mean, it's my business. This is my problems. So I'm not going to share them. But I've been really busy, and so I haven't had a chance to check a lot of these things. But I was reading briefly on AB West Point changed its mission statements. And according to what I've read so far, it's sparking a lot of controversy. It seems like the West Point had a mission statement before, for decades, for a long time, since 1898. Okay? Since 1898, that was duty, honor, and country. Duty, honor, and country. Now, think about that and let it sink into your mind. Duty, that's wonderful, right? That's what it should be about. That's what the military should be about. It should be about duty. Honor, right? That is what it should be about. It should have honor. And then country. It should defend the country. So there's nothing wrong with that mission statement. But apparently, it was good. It was good enough to be in place since 1898. Now, for some reason, the government wants to change it. They want to change it. And so the new version, they changed that. They removed duty, honor, and country. And now they replaced it with build, educate, and train. Build, educate, and train. So there's nothing wrong with those three words there, but I have a little problem with educate. Educate about what? Wokeness? And train about what? Train to fight, or train about wokeness? How to walk in high heels? And to build what? To build them into soldiers? What kind of soldiers are they going to be without duty, honor, and country?
Well, I saw that, and I've seen that play out for a couple of days almost on the War Room and America's Voice News and different individuals that have looked into that, and that is true. They have changed that, and the reason you change it is because, and this is my opinion, of course, you know, I was in the military. The reason you change that is you no more teach or require loyalty to a country. Their loyalty will be to whoever's running the show, and it appears, unless something drastic changes, that, you know, our, I guess you you could say, anti-Christ, anti-American government is staying with us unless something drastic changes, and it'll probably have to be the Lord because the people don't know how to do anything. So, you know, with that being said, it's very interesting. You know, you talk about the Army, but really from all the ex-military people that I've heard and the veterans, that Army is not the same Army we had 10 years ago. That Army has been purged. It was purged during Obama, and basically now is completely purged out of, you know, they removed all the conservatives, the Christians, the patriots, everybody that would have cared, and everybody that would have cared about harming an American citizen have been removed, and those that weren't removed by the purge left. You get that? Left. And it appears, and this again is my opinion, it appears they've gone dark. If they haven't, who have you heard lately? What group of veterans, what group of military officers or leadership have you heard that's not in the military anymore? You haven't. They've gone dark. Now, you know what that means? It means, obviously, that they have decided that you can't win this game in Washington, D.C. You can't win this basically national game. You have to go home. You have to go home and protect your family, prepare your home for what's coming, and they do know what's coming. You're not fooling these guys, the patriots and the Christians and the conservatives that were in the military have left and gone home to get ready. They know something's coming. They know what it is. And to me, they're going to stand their ground, basically, I suppose, in their states that they live. They're going to fight there. They're going to draw their line in their front yard, if you will, or their community. And actually, I'm hearing, oddly enough, from some of the people that's been trying to encourage votes, they're being very discouraged because they're not really getting many votes for Trump out there from people that, are Christian or Catholic or, the certain groups that's out there, that's thousands and thousands and thousands of them, they're not stepping up, staying in the background. They're not going to vote for anybody. So I guess they'll get what they get. But the interesting thing is, even those people now in the last few days, I've noticed that have been trying to raise up people across the country in different states to really go vote, they're deciding that the battle for the national level campaign is pretty much toast, if you will, and the support's not there. And the support's not there because most all the Rhino Republicans, which is the majority, are not going there. They're not going to vote for Trump. Matter of fact, they'd rather have Schumer. They'd rather have Biden. They'd rather have Obama. They'd rather have Michelle Obama. They'd rather have people like that, Harris. They'd rather have them. So what these people seem to be doing on a fallback plan, they're all going home and rallying the troops, if you will, for elections in their local county, their local town. Everybody, it seems, now this is my opinion, but I'm getting it from intel and information I've been reading and watching, and it seems that everybody's locked into a mode now that you're going to have to fight in your front yard. This is where the battle is now, and this may lead us to, just like your state, Florida, there's a battleground going on between, Texas and the U.S., if you want to put it that way. The federal government of this country is battling Texas at the Texas border and other locations. And now it appears there's a new front. Florida's deploying law enforcement and National Guard and quite a bit of resources to their East Coast to battle a massive surge of Haitian immigrants or illegals, if you want to use that term, that are coming into the U.S. And at the same time, even Oklahoma's preparing for something, don't know what, about April the 8th, you know, is that another battleground between Texas, you know, the Texas border and Oklahoma border region? Who's coming through? Who's expected? I don't know. But it looks like that Anton Johansson, who said that Jesus came to him and told him about that second American Civil War, was going to be a biggie. We're getting there.
Yeah, you better believe it. And it is going to be big because you're going to have factions fighting against each other all over the country, mainly the states against the federal government. And it's not going to be pretty. It's going to be quite something. But getting back to the military, what these people that are running the military right now want is they want soldiers who are basically robots. And they have been making big leaps in the development of artificial intelligent robots. I've seen video of it, and it is astounding what these robots can do. And if you have a platoon or a division of American military coming up against the same number or more of these robot soldiers, it's a bloodbath because you can't kill them, and it's very difficult to stop them, and they're going to be armed to the teeth. And we'll just think about scenes from The Terminator. That sort of gives you an idea of what we're going to be up against, depending on how fast they can get these robots, these AI robots deployed across the country. They're probably working on that behind the scenes. And when they turn these things loose, I mean, it's going to be hell on earth here in this country and all over the world, too.
Well, it's chaos is already running rampant in many parts of the world, and this is going to intensify, of course, lawlessness. As we see the arrival of the Antichrist, is the spirit of lawlessness that will manifest fully on the earth, spirit of chaos, spirit of violence. This is predicted in the Word of God that these things would happen before the end. And so the spirit of the Antichrist is the spirit of lawlessness. And the spirit of lawlessness is getting stronger and stronger by the day. Now, this situation in Haiti, of course, Haiti has always been a chaotic country. It's almost like it's like a black hole. There are some Christian organizations that have been pouring tons of money into Haiti for decades. And yet very little, you know, there have been some results, but it seems like they're treading water. And one of the reasons is because Haiti is so deeply involved into the occult. It has deep occultic roots. And the people are, the people there, they are basically, their main religion is voodoo, mixed in with Catholicism. But there has been 2 weeks of violence and chaos, according to the news. And then the president there, Ariel Henry, has announced his resignation. And so he's the prime minister of Haiti. And he did that because, politically connected gangs were sowing chaos in the country's capital. And they were storming the prisons, seizing control of the ports, torching dozens of shops, police stations. I mean, this is happening in many parts of the world. Look what has been going on in Ecuador for some time. Look what's been going on in Honduras. Look what has been going on in Mexico. And now they wanted to bring it here. And now it's beginning to happen in Europe. And also it's happening in Toronto and Canada as a whole, really. And now the Canadian government, has done something so idiotic. They're basically telling the people to leave the keys in their car so that, you know, they do not have a confrontation with the thugs. Just leave the keys in there. Let them take them if they want them. You know, they don't have to break into their car. I mean, this is where we're at. We're living in a world where they are encouraging violence. They're literally encouraging violence, and they're punishing character. They're punishing patriotism. They're punishing honor. They're punishing Christianity when you believe in God, in the Christian God, specifically Jesus. Okay? They don't have a problem when you say God. They have a problem when you say Jesus. I was allowed to go to schools in the area here, all over the area here, and talk about God, but I could not mention Jesus. They warned me. They warned me, and they says, we're going to let you come and talk to the students, but you cannot say the word Jesus. You can say God. You cannot say the word Jesus. And then I said, you don't allow me to say the word Jesus in the school. And then they said, well, you can come after class, after the school, you know, in after class hours. And we do have some meetings, like for Christians, you know, that come and others. And there you can say the name Jesus, but not while school is in session. It's forbidden by the Department of Education. So there you have it. Whereas in Honduras, when I went there many times, I preached in the schools, public schools. They would welcome me. They wanted me to come. They wanted me to come. The principal of the school wanted me to come. I framed it, a beautiful document that they gave me from the principal of the school of Honduras, thanking me for it's an acknowledgement, a diploma of acknowledgement for me coming there and talking to the children. I mean, this is from the Department of Education of Ecuador, not Ecuador, Honduras. So this is the difference. That we're living in countries that where you're not allowed to say Jesus, which reminds me of Cuba. And then you have other countries. Now, Honduras is facing some drastic changes too, unfortunately. But anyway, this situation in Haiti is getting really, really bad. And many other countries are beginning to experience this. And of course, Governor DeSantis he said he's not going to allow that, because probably along with the people that are escaping, there's going to be a lot of gangs that are going to try to get in there and into the country. So again, O'Biden has no problems with it. He has no problems with this. And now I was reading that this morning that the O'Biden administration is planning to use Guantanamo Bay as the processing center for Haitian migrants. How about that? Just when you had heard all you had to hear from Guantanamo Bay, now it says it's going to use as a processing center. So I don't know what that means, but everything that this O'Biden administration comes up with is bad. It's bad for the country. It's bad. There's nothing good happening.
Well, I guess I'll give my me thanks on that. What has been found out, this was on the War Room this morning, with Steve Bannon, who interviewed Todd Bensman, and I guess y'all all know who Todd Bensman is. He's excellent in finding out what's going on. I think basically Guantanamo is going to be a smokescreen. That's going to be a show. I guess you could say maybe it'll be a photo op, you know, but the real operation of bringing them in is already going on, and they're not even, and it's not the boats. The boats are coming full of Haitians, by the way, but Todd Bensman released information this morning, and he found it out, and he verified it, vetted it. He said, we found out Biden is already flying in thousands of Haitians into the U.S. directly from Haiti. Direct flights, believe it or not, full of Haitians are being flown into a airport on the coast in Massachusetts, and they're flying in thousands at JFK Airport in New York City. Said it's not Texas and Greg Abbott that's filling up New York with illegals. It's Biden and his regime. So we can all talk about Guantanamo Bay, but hey, the cat's out of the bag. They're already doing it. They're flooding America.
Oh, yeah. America's filling up with all of these illegals. And maybe we'll have more illegals living in America soon than we do Americans. It is just unbelievable how they are doing this. And it's just becoming more and more dangerous for those of us who live here in America. Because eventually, when the money runs out and they're not getting their debit cards and their food stamps and whatever, then they're going to start coming after Americans to get what they want. They'll start invading homes and taking over, probably killing the people that live there and then moving in and taking everything away from them that they've stored up, and then also going after stores and businesses in order to get whatever it is that they want. And they won't have anything, any money to pay for it, so it doesn't matter. They'll just go in and do it, just like these flash mobs that you see that go into these jewelry stores and these other high-end stores with groups of about 15 or 20 people, and they just go in and just clean the store out real quick. And they don't have the means of stopping them. So this is going on, and America is in great danger. We are in great danger because of this, because of what Biden is doing. And it all, of course, has been planned for years and years.
Yep, this is a planned invasion. Let me rephrase that. A planned destruction of America. Now, there's another article here. I want to change subjects and then go to something else that came out on the expose. Farming is being destroyed, and it is being destroyed by design. And this was an interview by that was done by Sandy Adams, the Colchester Council Watch, discussing the UN agenda, how it's affecting farmers globally, and the protests around the EU. And this is an important interview, and according to the article. And so she says, we've got to get farmers to understand where this is going, and that farming will die if we don't do something now, she warned. So, of course, this article is written there, in, you know, from a European perspective. But this is happening in the United States as well. This is happening in the Western society. They want to destroy the food chain. They want to farming. They want to destroy that. This is why they're buying up big chunks of farmland, and the states are wisely enough waking up to this and, passing bills into law that restrict the purchasing of farmland by these kinds of individuals. And several states have already done it, and more states should do it, and quickly, because these people are hell-bent on killing us one way or the other. Like the old song, remember one way or another, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. Remember that song? That was, again, back from my times when I was a young guy. And this is how these people operate. We're going to get you. One way or another, we're going to get you. And the people don't understand that. People are still thinking in terms of politically a Democrat or Republican. And they don't understand that what we're dealing with here is a mafia. It's a government-controlled mafia by these individuals that they go by many names, but it's a government within a government. The people don't understand that. People just don't understand that. And they're very naive. They think that still the president in the country runs things. And this country, you know, the laws that are passed are for the good of the people. And they still believe that the government doesn't lie. And they still believe that everything government does is to protect the citizens and for the good of the citizens. And they have no idea. They have no idea. And so, you know, no matter how hard you try to tell them, they won't listen. They just don't listen. They're oblivious. they're stuck. They have the by will, okay, by their decision, by their self-will, they're stuck, and they don't want to look anywhere else. And that's fine. But they're going to have a rude awakening soon. A lot of these people are going to have a rude awakening. And you try to warn anybody, and they look at you and like persona non grata. Like, who are you? I mean, you're a weirdo, you know, and they don't want to hang around you, you know. You are lonely. You know, this is a test of loneliness. One of the tests that the Lord is testing us is a test of loneliness, a test of loneliness. And a lot of people are feeling that they're alone. They're alone. Their families are not with them. Their friends, they're not with them, with a few exceptions. They're alone. And then this walk of loneliness is a test. And it is a very, very severe test, because loneliness is something that a human being was not created to live like that. Was not created to live like that. So, with the exception of the remnant, we are alone. We are alone, and that is the way it is. And you know, except that we have the blessed hope, and Jesus is with us. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But other than that, you know, this is where we are at. And so, you know, people don't want to believe it. And I guess when they have to eat bugs, they'll realize that we were telling the truth.
Well, that's very true. I recently got a letter from a pastor's wife in Texas. And the letter basically said, and they have a church, but it seems like most all the youth and middle age, you know, on down to the youth have basically left them, and they're standing for the Lord Jesus. And they also feel that they have a location given to them by the Lord where they're to go when things crash or fall through. And, but they said, there's only going to be a few of us, because we're the older folks, we're the praying folks, we're the intercessors. We're those that read the Bible and do what it says, and we're not many. There's only a few of us. And said, a lot that should be with us will not be with us because they haven't made provision to even care where we're going or what happens to us. So, yeah, you know, it's apparent. And it's very, very sad because, you know, These youth out of that has left these people and these churches, and the younger folks, the middle aged folks that are doing other things and living in the world and left them, they're going to suffer great loss. They have no idea of the loss that's coming, but that's just a classic example of what you just said. You know, the remnant's kind of on its own, it seems.
Yeah, there are not many of those who are part of the remnant compared to the rest of the population. And the main reason for this, I believe, is because there's no more power in the church. I'm not talking about all of the churches, but the major part of the churches out there, there's just no power in them. The power of God is not in there because they don't believe everything the Bible says. They don't believe what God says in His Word. There's no faith. So they go to church and just have your standard church service every Sunday, which is, it's a dead service. I have been for the longest time trying to find a church here in the area where I live, and I haven't had any luck. I've been to a number of churches looking to see if I can find a church that has the Holy Spirit and that teaches the truth, and I haven't been able to find one. It's mostly entertainment, and all they are concerned about is building up the congregation so they have more money coming in. But as far as really serving the Lord, I would love to find a church like that, and I just haven't been able to. So, you know, what can you do? And this is why the young people are losing interest in the church and leaving the churches, because there's no power there. If these churches did what they were supposed to do, according to God's word, and had the power of God in these churches, they would be attracting people. They would have to add additions to their churches to handle all the people coming in. If a church has power, people are going to come looking for it. You better believe it.
Well, you're not going to have power in the church if you compromise. You're not going to have power in the church if you don't seek God every day. You're not going to have power in the church if you don't preach the gospel of the kingdom. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on. It's just dead messages being preached by dead preachers, dead pastors. Dead preachers preach dead sermons, and that is what happens. You cannot get something alive from somebody that is dead. It's impossible. You cannot give what you don't have. I say that's about as plain as I can put it. And this is the tragedy of the church today. And like you were saying there, Larry, the few that you could tell that, you know, were honest people and sincere and really loved Jesus and and were seeking him and uncompromising, preachers, those are stepping down. They're leaving the churches in droves. I keep hearing of people resigning from around here. There was one little preacher here in a Baptist church. I mean, a Baptist church, really, a Baptist church that they're not big on the Holy Ghost, but this little preacher, he was young. He was pretty good. He was sincere. You could feel the Holy Ghost when he preached. You could feel the anointing. And I listened to him, the podcasts. And I used to tell my wife, I said, that little preacher in that church, I mean, he's got potential. And then all of a sudden I hear that he resigned. And I don't know. One of the things that people do not understand either is that a lot of these churches are controlled by boards. Okay. And these boards are like their rhinos in the Republican Party. They're like the rhinos. You can't do anything with them. And eventually the pastors resign. And I have been to many churches like that, preached in many of them in the past. And I know many of the preachers, pastors that were there that had to leave. They had to leave. So anyway, enough about that. We got a few minutes left, so I wanted to share this with you. This is the latest now. The Quinta Columna, the Spanish organization, right, that has done a lot of publications on the vaccines and all that stuff, they just discovered an alien DNA hidden in the blood of vaccinated people. How about that? Again, I have not been able to vet this, but coming from the Quinta Columna, they are pretty credible from all the material that I have read from them. So I haven't been able to vet this particular, statement from their articles there in Quinta Columna, but based upon their record, I would say that they're very credible. But again, I just want to make a note that I have not been able to vet that. But it was stated that they discovered alien DNA hidden in the blood of vaccinated people. Now, I'm going to do some more research into this, and maybe I'll share more in the upcoming podcasts. Now, with that, Larry, we got about maybe 5 minutes left, and Chuck, and we'll close.
Well, I agree with everything you guys said about most of the church out there. However, it wouldn't be fair or proper for me to use the example I used and not support those folks. And so I do want to say that I've met these people, the pastor and his wife. I know them in person, and the scenarios you guys laid out does not fit them. However, the scenario that may fit them is the fact that because they walk with Jesus, a lot of the youth and younger and even middle-aged folks don't choose to take that walk. And so that's the ones that will suffer loss, those that will not walk in Jesus. And I just wanted to say that because it wouldn't be fair for me to open that conversation up like I did, I suppose, and not support them you know, that the scenarios that were, you know, we talked about really didn't fit their church. It's simply the people won't walk therein.
Oh, yeah, because it takes a big commitment to follow Christ, and it costs you a great deal. Well, it costs you everything if you want to follow him completely in the way that he wants you to. It is going to cost you everything. And most people, even those who enthusiastically come to Jesus Christ in the beginning, when they find out what it's going to cost them, they'll just they'll fall away and go back to the ways of the world. And because that's the way a lot of people are. They don't want to make the commitment and pay the price.
That's right. That's exactly right. Well, that's about it for today, folks. Thanks, Larry. Thanks, Chuck. Thank you all for taking the time to listen to this program. We pray and trust that you have enjoyed it and it has been a blessing to you and informative. Until next time, this is Augusto Perez saying, Shalom.